I'm John Krall. Coming up on No Limits, we're going to talk about the stuff that makes the spirit sing and the body move, music. We will talk about what's happening and what's not in the local music scene. We'll talk about local artists, where they find their audiences, and where their audiences find them. We will discuss this with a great group of guests. DJ and musician Rusty Redenbacher, Lindsay Manfredi of Girls Rock Indie, and Indianapolis star entertainment writer Dave Lindquist. And of course you. Please join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the local music scene, and I should say that that was not our normal No Limits theme music, as you probably could tell, although we'll consider replacing it in the future. That was a song by one of our guests, whom I'll introduce right now, Rusty Redenbacher. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. And the song, I'm going to break with protocol a little bit. Normally, I go around the room and introduce everybody. But since we started the program with your song, yeah, Liars and the Hate They Create, can you tell us a little bit about that song and the genesis of it?
Yeah. It's from the album Lazarus, which is kind of written at a heavy time in my life. And at that point in my life, I was in the Mud Kids, and Mud Kids were kind of known for the brighter side of things. And I was just kind of going through some other things personally that couldn't necessarily be expressed within that music. And part of that was just a lot of doubt that had been put in your head. You know what I mean? Just getting older as a musician, you know what I mean? A local musician at that, you know what I mean? Kind of just looking at everything and saying, you know what, the nonsense is, they're lies. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep pushing. So, you know, here's the truth. You got to deal with it. And that's what I'm going to be about pretty much from here on out. And I've always been about that. It was just a different way of expressing it and actually confronting a lot of things.
And I should say, throughout this program, we're going to intersperse some of the music of our guests and other local bands.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a flavor of that, in addition to just the sounds of people talking here. I'd also like to introduce my other guest, David Lindquist, who is an entertainment writer for the Indianapolis Star. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. And from Girls Rock Indie, we have with us Lindsay Manfredi. Did I pronounce that right?
Correct.
I got it correct. That's good. Welcome to the program. It's good
Thank
to have you.
You
here. Well, we're talking about the local music scene here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits at WFYI.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, I'm going to take it around the room real quickly here and just ask everybody to sort of weigh in on, you know, how lively is the music scene in Indianapolis? And to some degree, does it get the attention that it deserves? I'll start with Lindsay.
Wow, okay.
Yes.
I believe that the music scene in Indianapolis is really great. I don't think it gets the deserve or the recognition that it deserves. There are so many talented musicians here, and they're all hopping from bands to bands. I don't necessarily think, though, that it's just Indianapolis. I think that bands need to have more of a plan. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of out of breath.
That's okay.
That's okay.
How about if I How about if I toss it to David Lindquist real quickly, who is the entertainment writer for the Indianapolis Star? David, how lively? I'm assuming this is a big portion of your job right now.
Right. I moved to Indianapolis in 1998 mm-hmm. and started writing about music. Both the bands who come through town and the musicians in town in Indianapolis. And it's changed. There was a time when I first arrived, I felt like there were a lot of good musicians in town, but there was a disconnect between an audience and the mm-hmm. musicians themselves. Then there was a phase where...
Could you explain that when you say there was a disconnect between the musicians and the audience that they served? How did that manifest itself? How did you see it?
Primarily, it was that I didn't think that if someone put out a great record,
yeah,
that other musicians in town necessarily even knew about it. There were like silos of styles mm-hmm. in town. And to me, that's where the framework begins. If the music community doesn't have a network, then the audience isn't going to wake up to it either. So then there was a time when we had a website in town called IndianapolisMusic.net, and it really connected the spokes as far as I was concerned. And then in the past few years, of course, social media sites, Facebook and Twitter, became so popular that the IndianapolisMusic.net site went away. So now we have essentially, I think what art needs is, if you're an artist, you need to build your story and tell your story. And thanks to Twitter and Facebook, everyone's kind of on there. It's up to them to build those stories. And we have a lot of good stories in town.
And I do want to talk about, in some ways, how the explosion of technology has changed music, because it's changed just about every other phase of life these days. Rusty Redenbacher,
yeah.
How lively do you see the Indianapolis music scene?
I've been a participant of it for, you know, ever, many different phases. And I think it's still lively. The pockets of culture kind of move around now, you know what I mean? Like, you don't go to Broad Ripple to see bands anymore. You're not doing that. Mm-hmm. There was a time when you were, you know what I mean? You go to Broad Ripple just on a random night and mm-hmm. know you could go see a good band somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really say that anymore. But now you can kind of say that about Fountain Square.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So things are kind of... Things just move and change, and I think what Dave said was really important in terms of Twitter and Facebook and telling your own story. You know, something that stuck with me, man, that Andy Skinner from A Squared Industry said to me. He, we were talking, and I was kind of talking about some of the stuff that I addressed in that Liars song. Mm. And he was like, well, you know, Russ, we got internet and we got an airport. You can get it done. You can get it done. Mm. And that really... was a spark for me, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I got to hit that social media and you work, and it's kind of about, you know, everybody's got equal footing mm-hmm. technology wise and everything, you know what I mean? A kid with a laptop can make a really good album.
So it's democratized at some level the way things work and made it possible.
Absolutely.
for a local group to, you know, to have a level of parity with...
Yeah, there's not like that one room you gotta play. It's not like that anymore. Like, you can go out here and make a room that room you gotta play by really doing your thing. And I think that's great.
David Lindquist.
A couple of weeks ago, that room was a street in Fountain Square.
mm-hmm.
There's a festival called Cataracts. And right mm-hmm. now, the mythology is building. You go online and look at the photographs from this event, and it's like... Holy cow, it's the kind of thing that makes people from Chicago move to Indianapolis, that makes people from Georgia move to Indianapolis, because
yeah.
it's so dynamic and there's a sense of place. And I'm encouraged because since 98 to 2012, a lot of the people who had great ideas in Indianapolis left back mm-hmm. then. And I think we're to the point now where the people who have the great
left
ideas
to go to
are
other
staying.
Places
yeah.
or...
Yeah.
Was it because the market wasn't large enough for them? Wasn't enough to sustain?
Well, I think it's like
their art and their living.
Part of the things that Rusty was just talking about. You mm-hmm. can make it here, and a lot of people find that the art they make is closely tied to Indianapolis. So why go somewhere else and try to?
Bring it home. Yeah. Bring it on home.
We're talking about the local music scene here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or shoot us a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, that sort of gets the question in terms of, the basic level of being an artist in of any kind in this country. Is there a large enough audience to support, as a writer, a person who's expressed himself primarily through writing, one of the most sobering statistics I think I ever saw in my life when I was getting ready to publish my book a few years ago. I read somewhere that there were 600,000 published authors in the United States and Canada, and only 3,000 of them didn't have day jobs.
Man.
Is that pretty much the reality for people who work in music, local musicians, that for the bulk, this has got to be something that feeds your soul rather than that feeds your body? Lindsay Manfredi.
Yes, we all have day jobs. I don't know if there's any musicians in Indianapolis who don't, but it is something that feeds our soul, and you just have to do it and you don't give up. Mm-hmm. I'm a believer that if you work on your art for so long, eventually something good will happen.
And Rusty Redenbacher, how long have you been a working musician?
I've been doing this for a long time, man. I'm trying to stay kind of timeless with it. No, I've been doing it professionally in town since 91, 92. Okay. Yeah, I'm still here rocking. But yeah, I got to have a day job, you know what I mean? I worked at a record store for 10 years. I loved it. Rockin' Billy's. A lot of people probably came through. I love you for it. Thank you. And now I'm down the street on the radio and the TV, and I work at nights too, if you need a DJ. Holler at me. I do weddings, bar mitzvahs. Let me know. But you are going to need to augment your hustle in terms of the music scene here. Because like I said, there's not that one room you used to play. I can tell you that from experience, too. Because there was one room where we could play and know you're going to make a real knot every time. I don't know if it's like that for everybody now. It very well might be like that for some people right now, and that's great. But those people are also leaving town to make that happen, too. Mm-hmm. Like, shout out to Reverend Peyton.
Yes. Well, David Lindquist.
That segues to what I was going to say, is that I think the definition of a rock star has mm-hmm. changed since the advent of, the internet mm-hmm. domination. People don't need to sign to a major label. And if they do sign to a major label, they're likely going to be hampered by a lot of things that the label wants them to do, and they're not going to get paid, and they're not going to be able to make the art that they want to. So there's a smaller, more blue-collar model. And Russ just mentioned the Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, mm-hmm. who
we're going to hear from later on.
Who travel the world.
So. Yeah.
I think they can probably reliably play to an audience of 250 to 500 people in any city they go to. That's not what we're going to see tonight on the MTV Video Music Awards, but mm-hmm. that's a great living, I think, for mm-hmm. people who want to be musicians.
Well, we've gotten an email question from a listener. It's more a comment from a listener named I'm going to slaughter this, Margaretha, I think, who says, love your show, always tune in, thank you very much, and says, hope you'll make a mention of the house concert series scene in Indy. My husband and I just started a series this year, House Concerts on the Knoll, the Far East Side, Lawrence Township, and mentions another one, Redbud Treehouse Concert Series is another great one. Happy to do that. We obviously would like to. We're doing this to celebrate local music and the local music scene. So if there are other shout-outs that people want to offer up, we'll be happy to take them. We are talking about the local music scene here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We're going to fade out now listening to one of Rusty Redenbacher's tunes, High Chops. We'll be back with him, David Lindquist, and Lindsay Manfredi. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Podium School of Journalism, executive editor of the State House File, and your host. We are talking about the local music scene, Indy's local music scene here on No Limits. I'm fortunate to have as my guests Rusty Redenbacher, local DJ and musician, David Lindquist, who is entertainment writer for the Indianapolis Star, and someone you just heard, Lindsay Manfredi of Girls Rock Indy, and that was her band, Kaleidostars, doing From Here, right?
Correct.
That's the title. Can you tell us a little bit about the genesis of that song?
Oh, well...
Give you the same offer. Rusty, that's how Rusty started the program.
Okay.
Put me on the spot.
Plug it.
From Here came out of kind of like the finalization of Neon Love Life, which was a band I was in for the last 3 years with some great girls, and we formed Girls Rock Indianapolis out of that. But so when we split up, I had the opportunity to play with Eric Clay Johnson, Mark Johnson, and Tony Medeiros, and we formed this band, Kaleidostars, and just didn't stop. Just had to start writing brand new music, and From Here was kind of, you know, about the dissolution of that band, and, you know, we're starting over, and here we go.
So it's good stuff, man.
We're talking about the local music scene here. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Zach. Says he lives near Fountain Square and notes that there is heavy resistance to house parties. Mm. How to fix that? I'll toss that open to this panel. I'm sure that's a problem that we've dealt with. Rusty Redenbacher.
House parties? I really, you know, I wouldn't know. I would think that most of the house parties that people are that we were talking about earlier are probably a little bit quieter than the block party, like Cataracts. You know what I mean? Because I saw the pictures from Cataracts, and my buddy Rick came back from San Francisco for this thing, and I hadn't even heard about it. And Rick came all the way back from San Francisco for it. Mm-hmm. Showed me the pictures, and I was like, whoa! And then I saw Burnt One picture. I mean, you know what I mean? I saw some great bands that played there, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So, yeah, it probably depends on the volume of your party. I think, you know, what was the one? The lady, the margarita lady? I'm sure she's probably talking about some singer-songwriter.
Unplugged,
singer-songwriter ones. Like, there's been some of those over at the Indy Hostel and stuff that have been, you know what I mean, well-received. I know Pat DiNunzio from Smithereens came here and played a house party a couple years ago.
It was the Johnson Brothers, their 40th birthday party.
Oh, man, that's awesome. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think there's
David Lindquist,
I think there's a parallel to all ages venues, but it's different as well. All ages venues, I think, are fantastic. I think when you bring kids together to listen to music, a lot of positive things can happen. But there's just a long track record of residents not wanting all ages venues in their neighborhood, and that's a legitimate music venue. When you have four rock bands playing in your living room, you know, within 10 yards of two houses on either side, you know, you can expect some friction. So, I mean, to one degree, I wrote about kind of the community that's down on Morris Street in Fountain Square, and it's kind of a makeshift musicians colony. A lot of 20-something musicians who kind of all play a similar style of music, and they're really like-minded, and there's a lot of good synergy of creation there, but at the same time, the people who live on that block who aren't musicians, I'm sure they could probably take a break.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the local music scene here in Indianapolis on No Limits. Ari, welcome to the program. Ari?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Your
Hi,
question,
guys.
Please. Hi.
Yeah, and actually... Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Rusty.
Hey,
Ari. How are you?
I'm gathering you guys know each other,
yes.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Actually, played some music with Lindsay. I played in a girls' rock, all punk rock band about 5 or 6 years ago. And just wanted to say, definitely can relate to everything that they're saying as far as being in the scene, being a local musician. And I've moved away, come back, you know, been other places. And the thing to me about Indy is, it feels like, you know, there's still a disconnect between musicians, like in all the different types of music. And I kind of wonder on your guys' thoughts, you know, what's it going to take for us to really kind of come together as far as musicians and kind of take it to another level as far as, you know, I know we're not Nashville, we're not Chicago, we're not these music-oriented places.
We need to stop flying over our city is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been things people really tried to draw big attention to the city and like Rock the Ripple and we got the Broad Ripple Music Fest coming up, things like that. I mean, there's things where everybody is kind of given the chance to get together and meet each other and network and then extend that, you know, past that weekend. So it's on the musicians, I suppose, as much as anything else, to make more noise. You know what I mean? I'm happy to support other musicians. You know what I mean? More than gladly. Like I make a point to try to know which local videos are going to be on my show because I want to shout those out. I want to make that happen. Right. So
But the difference between you and some Lindsay. Other musicians are you're. I think are devoid of ego. I think there are a lot of musicians in Indianapolis that have a lot of ego and can be too cool for school sometimes in certain areas. So I really think that sometimes we have a bonded music scene and then I feel like it's all over the board. It really all just depends, but I think the best thing that you can do as a musician is just be yourself and constantly reach out to people and try to bridge these gaps and do shows together and make it happen.
Well, let me reframe the question. Ari, thank you very much for the call.
Hi, Ari.
But I want to pick up on one of her points about sort of elevating the profile and, making, and I think Rusty said, instead of having people fly over Indianapolis, part of what David was saying earlier, though, is that the music scene here has a very distinctive and local flavor to it. Do you risk losing some of that by going national or by reaching out to that larger, more geographically diverse audience? Well, David Lindquist, I'll throw that one to you.
The sound could be anything. I mean, when Indianapolis, if and when Indianapolis ever becomes the next X city that you want to name from the past 25 years, it could be anything. It could be underground hip hop. It could be a metal band. It could be a power pop band. One thing that I think is sometimes overlooked is the audience. When people are into music, they're young. And one thing that I've always struggled with since I came to Indianapolis is the bar entry age as it relates to concerts. Say I'm a student at a university in Indianapolis, and I'm in school from the years ages 18 through 21. If I can't go to a show for three of those 4 years, I'm missing some good touring acts. Conversely, a lot of touring acts don't come to town because their audience can't come to their shows if they go to a certain venue. We're seeing some changes in that regard. Deluxe in the basement of Old National Center is an all-ages room that's getting a lot of these progressive touring bands. So a band that's on tour sometimes might pick up a local band, and you're the supporting act. So I'm a college student in Indianapolis. I go see this national act that I like is playing an all-ages room. I see a local band that I really like, and then you can just see the snowball roll.
I'm going to stay with you for a second, David, because we've gotten an email question and it looks like a Facebook question. They're basically, the variations of the same thing. Would like to know, what sense of responsibility, if any, you feel as a local music critic in supporting the community that you write about, the artists and the musicians here. It's a basic kind of journalistic question. Are you critic or supporter?
That's a good question. I have had a tendency, I think, to when I do write about Indianapolis artists, to write about artists who I think have something original and of high quality, because I guess in some respects I'm like, okay, if I'm going to present to a reader someone they've never heard of, and my introduction is, this is really bad. Mm-hmm. I don't think it serves anybody. It doesn't serve the artist, and it doesn't serve the reader. Luckily, we're in a town where there are a lot of publications, a lot of outlets, where artists can kind of climb the ladder, mm-hmm. get a write-up on a website. Someone takes that website notice to a different publication mm-hmm. and says, look, these guys like me. What do you think? And they like it. And it's just...
So in some ways, not reviewing them can be an act of kindness at times.
You could say that.
Say that they're not quite ready. Yeah.
No, but there's plenty of good things to write about.
I like to add on to that. Rusty, I mean, Redenbacher, still, while you were talking like right just now, I was thinking that's how I feel about being a DJ. Mm-hmm. You know, because now everybody can hand you their music on a CD, and mm-hmm. you can throw their music in a computer, and mm-hmm. you can just immediately listen to it. Somebody can hand you their stuff on a flash drive and say, play my record. And I'm working. You know what I mean? I don't want to play a record I don't necessarily know, and I don't know if this is necessarily good. But, you know, you have to support what you can. And just be cool to the rest of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but you do want to give people honest critiques.
We're talking about the local music scene here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We're hearing from the folks in Broad Ripple right now who are saying, in fact, there is a thriving music scene there, that it's not all down in Fountain Square. Heard from Jack Shepler, who's the festival director for Broad Ripple Music Fest. Wanted to tell me to say hi to you and would love a mention of the Broad Ripple Music Fest. We're now in our sixth year, and it takes place on Saturday, October 13th.
Salute the Broad Ripple
Music
Fest.
Yes, we'll have 12 plus stages.
And we did shout you out. Look, that's my man DJ Jack Alda. I'm going to shout him out, professional
right
name. You know what I mean?
Yes, I have a note right here.
Okay, Lindsay Manfredi, please.
The Broad Ripple Music Fest, this is the, fifth or sixth year?
Sixth year, he just
sixth
said.
Year, and it's bringing all kinds of bands together, and it's been a great...
I've had a good time, man. I like the beat battle. There's a great producer.
The beat battle,
battle is always great.
And it covers all genres.
Yeah.
Everything.
So, no, there's still, but that's, you know what I'm saying? That's one, I'm not talking, it's not the same Broad Ripple that we grew up.
Exactly.
David Lindquist, please.
But there's promising developments in Broad Ripple because the good people who ran Locals Only near Keystone 56th Street
sabbatical.
Are now... going to have a venue at the former site of La Jolla and the Night Porter called Sabbatical. And that's if they run that joint like they ran Locals Only, there'll be a lot of good independent music coming through Broad Ripple again.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about, the bands coming together, local musicians coming together and working together and reinforcing each other. Is there an argument to be made, though, for diversity and to some degree that... You know, competitiveness rather than always being mutually supportive? Lindsay Manfredi?
Within genres, I know that my old band we've played with Rusty, and we've crossed genres and shows and things, if that's what you're asking.
Well,
should we be going at it as opposed to going with it?
Well, and I guess more than anything, I guess no. To some degree, I guess what I'm asking here is... you know, the genesis of this is I think a famous essay by Lester Bangs, who was a critic years ago. I think he wrote it when Elvis died long ago, where he said he wasn't going to mourn Elvis because he'd said goodbye to him a long time ago. But he was also one of the last things that people agreed on when it came to music. And that after that, you know, the music scene was splintering. And the conclusion, as a writer, is one that's always... stuck in my head, was he said, I'm not going to say goodbye to Elvis because I did that a long time ago. I'm going to say goodbye to you because I know we're moving in different directions and music is splintering. Yeah. There are people who celebrate that and say, you know, that period when we all agreed on certain things meant that it tended to be kind of, you know, vanilla and homogenized and all of that, and we have a much more vibrant quality now. David Lindquist.
Well, it's kind of like what I was saying about the Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. Mm-hmm. They are a micro niche of the music world, but they can have a career. And not to name drop, but John Mellencamp told me one time when Jack and Diane was the number one song in America, everybody knew that song. And every week I get the top 10 list from Billboard, and I'm like, I don't really know some of these songs. So it's a different world. You have avid music fans that never even get to the radio. All their listening is done, you know, via other outlets. So I guess the good thing is...
what are those other outlets?
Spotify,
Pandora,
YouTube, emoji, blogs.
Basically your computer.
Mm. Yeah.
They, so, you know what I mean? Blogs are shaping the way a lot of people get to stuff and think about things. People are just, you know, quick to release their own music, which is, I think, is kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it empowered me. I'll say that much.
How did it empower you, Rusty?
Release my own music?
Yeah.
It really gave me a different perspective. I never produced my own music, much less, you know what I mean, came up with, you know, videos. And I mean, I do all that stuff myself with my phone, you know? So it's just like, I don't have to say, what do you think of this?
He's now, so prolific. I'm just catching up with his last record, and he's like, here comes my next one.
Yeah, you know, lower is the next one.
Well, you know, go ahead and pitch it there.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask, though, then, the fact that you don't, to some degree, have to go through the kind of filters that you also would have had to do, you know, years ago, has that changed the way that you write and or perform? I'll throw this to the two musicians here. I'll start with Lindsay Manfredi.
No, that doesn't change the way I write or perform. I mean, it's just an organic thing. So I don't think it does. I think that it gives a better outlet for people to hear the music, and especially with Spotify and iTunes and all these other avenues that are linked in with social media, so people can see what you're listening to or hear it, and then they can check it out too if they want to. It's a good way to share music.
Yeah, man. I don't know if it's... It depends on what we're talking about, because sometimes I might do something specifically just to give it away on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and I guess that's part of where I was going with that question.
That would definitely change the way I wrote it.
You have a much more direct connection with your audience, I would think.
Yeah.
That way it gets almost closer to live performance. Is that fair or am I mistaken?
I mean, it's definitely not going to take the place of, or you're not going to get the feel of live performance, but you definitely have that immediate connect with your audience. If you know people want to hear it, you can get it to them immediately. And I like that about social media. I like that about the immediacy of home recording now and where it's gone with that. I think you can just go. You know what I mean? You can go to put 5 songs on Bandcamp and say, you know what, give me $5 for that and we're good. Or just take it for free.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about the local music scene here in Indianapolis on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests right now are Rusty Redenbacher, who's a local DJ musician, Lindsay Manfredi of Girls Rock Indy, and Indianapolis star entertainment writer Dave Lindquist. We're going to listen to a little bit. Dave's been plugging him all show of Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, and we're going to listen to Something for Nothing.
That she did what she paid for. No, they don't say anymore. That she did what she paid for. But everybody wants something. Nobody want to pay nothing. Everybody wants something. Nobody want to pay nothing.
Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism. And I'm sorry, I got lost there for a second. I am the director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. That's what I get for trying to read a listener message while I'm doing that, coming out of the break. We are talking today about the local music scene here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests are local musician and DJ Rusty Redenbacher, Lindsay Manfredi, who is of Girls Rock Indie, and David Lindquist, who is an entertainment writer for the Indianapolis Star. One of the email questions we've gotten is from a listener named Ryan, who says, musicians don't have day jobs. That assumes there's only two jobs. Ask Rusty how many jobs he has. So we'll go through that real quickly and satisfy this. Rusty, how many jobs do you have?
Three, four, five jobs, man. No, man, I do have a couple of different jobs. And I'm always looking, like I said, I'm a DJ, so I do, you know, a lot of that. But I'll tell you that having somebody help you with that is very, very important. You know what I mean? I really feel like a lot of things have straightened out now. I've kind of gotten a good team with me now, and I'm feeling good about it. So I think having somebody help you with booking and stuff like that is important. But, you probably will have to have about six, seven jobs.
And go ahead, Dave Lindquist.
But just the other night, I was talking to DJ Action Jackson.
Yeah.
Music is his career, and that's a beautiful thing. So,
shout to Rad Summer. Yeah, they're doing it.
And we've got another listener question. Says, I want to support local music, but I'm not sure where to start. Is there a website, radio show, blog that presents what's happening in the city and where I can sample music?
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, well, toss out a couple.
Of course, Musical Family Tree is like the Indiana archive for like all things local music, a lot of local music.
There's indie concerts.
Indie concerts. Do 317.
Do317.com,
right? Can't forget about Heavy Gun. Heavy Gun blog is really good. Yeah, man. And there's the youngsters, man. The Good Life, telling you about the local hip hop.
Cut Camp.
Oh, Bringing Down the Band. Great hip hop blog. And they feature all these.
So there are a lot of places people can go.
IndieStar.com/.
Well, there you go.
Do your unplug.
That one too. And of course, TornadoAlleyMusic.tumblr.com. That's my entire team, and there's like seven of us that we'll put you on.
You are listening to No Limits, where we're talking about the local music scene. Frank, welcome to the program. Frank?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Thank you. Your question, please.
How's everyone doing?
Hey, Frank.
Excellent.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm enjoying your program. I did want to bring up something about the classical music scene as it's happening here in Indianapolis right now. Currently, the Board of Trustees for the Symphony has canceled 2 weeks of the season because the contract negotiations are at an impasse. The Symphony is, those of us who are classical music aficionados know, is the premier classical music group in this particular state. And with the problems that are going on financially, et cetera, folks are trying to get together. I guess what I would just ask your panel to talk about and think and discuss is what happens if the board's wishes are actually granted and our major orchestra, full-time orchestra, is basically sent down to the minor leagues to play Class A ball.
Thank you for the call and the question, Frank.
Support all the arts, man.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess that's to some degree we've gotten a couple of calls and it looks like tweets on this theme of a musicians' collective and whether there is that spirit of a united front among musicians in this city. I'll throw that one first to Lindsay Manfredi.
So is that a question? Are they asking whether we do have a united front?
Whether it's possible to have one without a music collective. And
if you're out and about and you're meeting people, I think that there does need to be a music collective. There does need to be something.
Like
I don't necessarily know if it's a union,
I'm not saying like
but yeah, something union. To where I would love to know the bands that my friends are forming or getting into and where they're playing all the time, because I feel like I miss a lot of it if I'm not going out to the bars or out to live shows all the time, because I do work and I have a daughter and a family, so it's hard for me to get out to see what everyone is doing. So I think that it would be great, and especially for people who aren't in the music scene who just want to come out and see music.
Thanks, Eric.
We are talking about the local music scene here on No Limits. And you can send an email question to nolimits@wfyi.org. I'm sorry, Dave Lindquist, you wanted to jump in and say something real quickly.
Just jumping back to the symphony thing. Obviously, that would be a real hit to our city and its cultural status. And, I mean, if you want to take a pulse of a city, I think we're one of fewer than 20 cities that have the type of full-time employee class A orchestra.
And I do want to emphasize that because we chose to emphasize, some genres of music in here, does not mean that on this particular program that we won't be dealing with classical music.
That's right.
At another time, in another program.
Right on.
Yeah, and we've gotten a couple of, in a few weeks, actually, we have a show set up specifically for that purpose. But in this case, we're going to talk Dave Lindquist. Yeah.
Sorry. I also think about maybe a line between being a musician who wants your city to be filled with a lot of great music and being an artist who wants to make a great piece of art. And not everyone who's a musician has, the same side of the brain going on those two issues. And, a great artist sometimes just has the spark to make one song that fills a room and then it catches fire. So while we're talking a lot about, it would be great if everyone helped each other and everyone knew what was going on, a lot of it's just serendipity.
Well, and it is also that act of creation often is a fairly individual one.
It just
one
takes
too.
one person to blow up too before a lot of people get seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me tell you this. Keep doing what you're doing because if one of y'all blows up, somebody else is going to get seen and more people are going to be seen. It's just kind of how it works out, Just keep making the music you're making.
And we've got a listener email question that's sort of on that point right now from a listener named David who says, "Hi, this question is for Lindsay and or Rusty. With taking control of producing/recording/releasing your own music, that usually means promoting on your own as well.
Exactly.
How do you feel about, I think we're getting from your tone, how do you feel about self-promotion? Is there a line where it becomes tooting your own horn? Since Rusty, you kind of jumped in on that one. Rusty Redenbacher,
we'll start with you. I've always been the one to run around with the flyers and understood that, that was part of my job. In Birdman is because I didn't play an instrument, so you don't have to carry any equipment, so you get to go to get the flyers printed and you get to go put them out. Well, I took it very seriously, and I was the one running around with the stapler gun, so I understand that you have to promote, but also understood the respect that angles of it where you don't promote on anybody else's stuff, and that you have to promote, but you don't have to be reckless. And I think when you promote and people respond to what you're promoting, when you respond to them as a real person, you're going to keep them on your team. So I say, yes, promote hard, but you definitely want to have a good team with you to help you get it done, and get it in the right places, but have that personal touch with it. And you got to talk about what you do.
Lindsay Manfredi, I'll let you have a crack at that one, too.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you, Rusty. You have to promote your music and you have to promote your band. And that's where, being social on social media comes in. And you don't want to be crazy annoying with it. But at the same time, I remember we had participated in this contest last February to open up for Jane's Addiction for this Rolling Stones thing. Mm-hmm. And Neon Love Life was in fifth place. And it got to the point where, we just decided as a band, we have been pushing and pushing and pushing, and we've been emailing and we've been bugging and texting, and we just have to stop doing this. And so we decided we weren't going to participate in crazy contests like that anymore because there is a point where it can be overbearing. So With this new band, Kaleidostars, we are just taking a little bit of a different approach and not being as aggressive, but just writing the music and creating it. And then when it's ready, we're going to let the music speak for itself.
And there it is.
But at the same time, you have to have some ego to get it out there and believe in it.
Once you put the music out there and speak for itself, you got to let people know where it is.
Exactly.
You don't have to necessarily be like, it's the best record ever, you got to hear it. But you definitely want to remind people, go check out my Bandcamp page. Come look at my YouTube. Here's the video I just did. You know what I mean? Because some people will get caught up. You post something on Facebook, and then you forget that you posted it. Keep posting
Not everyone sees it because you gotta have it show in your stream.
It's the world.
Well, and I think we've got a caller here who is interested on this subject. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Jim, welcome to the program. Your question, please.
I'm brand new to town, and I like all kinds of music, no matter what the age of the performers are. And I'm having a hard time finding what's going on. You know, there doesn't seem to be any place you can go. You can find this little bit here and that little bit there. Even the alternative newspaper on their website, I don't think, does a very good job. For example, they don't even put Slippery Noodles, what's going on there. I just think there's a real problem with not having a single place. I can't spend hours looking. I need a single place to go where I can find everything that's going on live music-wise every night in Indianapolis and some indication of quality, something along those lines. I just can't find that. Okay. Maybe it exists and I don't know.
Thanks very much for the call, Jim.
Jim, have you checked out, there's the Do 317.
That's the exact one I was going to say.
They have been doing a really great job in listing all the bands and everything that's going on. So, and they have top picks and you can like it and you can separate you can have your favorite bands. I mean, you can make your own profile and that's a good, I mean, it's just fairly new and it's such a great resource.
I didn't hear the name of the resource.
It's do317.com.
Do317.com.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
thank
man. Check that one out.
Thanks very much for the call, Jim.
That site is pretty impressive as a third-person site. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a musician.
Right.
Right.
So you can follow it.
Right.
We've gotten an email from a listener, a similar sort of theme, named Kane, who says, I used to live in Columbus, Ohio back in the early to mid-90s. There was a lot of enthusiasm about the local scene there. Some really fabulous bands were attracting national attention. The scene was quite excited, thinking that Columbus was finally going to get on the map as a music scene to watch. Unfortunately, kind of fizzled out, and with it a lot of talent. It would be best if the scene in Indianapolis not bother focusing on the national scene. Just work on being itself, and eventually the best will attract national attention. But stay humble, and if the national eye doesn't focus on the indie scene, don't let it pull the plug on the scene. In some ways, that's what Lindsay was saying about not taking part in silly contests anymore, too, right?
You have to just create your craft, and I'm still a growing and learning musician. I'm certainly not done growing in that aspect, so you have to just keep pushing and doing what you do.
Well, and then also people get numb to that approach to like vote for us, you know, after a while people kind of get numb to it and are just like they're gonna just skip over you.
Yeah, they don't,
you know,
they
mean?
Don't
as opposed
hear.
To like checking for what you just did. So
is there a need to reinvent? I'm sort of paraphrasing a tweet we got from a listener who said that the problem with the local music scene in Indy was anyone over the age of 30, that they, you know, they tend to go to a show and clap and maybe buy something, but they tend not to stay engaged with the groups that they follow in the way that younger audiences do.
I think that's just life.
That's life. You know, kids are who drive music sales, period, dot.
With Girls Rock Indianapolis and us creating this space of female strong musicians, I mean, we have my band that I coached last year played Indie Pride this year. I mean, in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge, and they're still a band, and they're playing shows all the time. And I'm like, wow, I can't keep up with these girls. But there's the Emerson that's down in Fountain Square. There's like the Hoosier
Emerson's
Dome.
On the east side.
Yeah, the Hoosier Dome now has kind of moved to Fountain Square, so there is an all-ages venue downtown, or in Fountain Square, where these kids are playing, and they're great.
What's the name of that band?
No Direction.
We also have gotten another email from a listener named Lee, who says, I was hoping your show could give a shout-out to local musicians and indie banding together in this new era of DIY and self-promotion, and it's the former Indie Band Collective, then renamed Midwest Emerging Artists, spring to mind. My favorite new act to grow out of that collective is the Star Trek tribute band, 5-Year Mission,
yes.
which
yes.
is a great example of talent from several bands joining forces to create something new and engaging. Also wanted to say hello to Rusty and let him know I heard his collaboration with Max Allen. I'm looking forward to that track on Max's forthcoming album.
There you go.
So we're in the shameless plugs
right on.
Period. Well, we're actually running out of time here real quickly, so I'm going to give you just a quick chance. If somebody was going to do something this weekend, a local act, what would you recommend they do? You got about 10 seconds. Lindsay, I'll go with you first.
I don't have anything this weekend, but I know that Raw is on Thursday at Bartini's. It's on Thursday evening, and Kaleida Stars is going to be playing that along with some great photographers and local film and all kinds of really great things.
Rusty Redenbacher, very quickly, 5 seconds. Or David Lindquist, go ahead.
You go first.
Oreo Jones, record release in Fountain Square, White Rabbit Cabaret, first Friday.
That's going to be awesome. And tonight, Diesel Boy at the Mousetrap. For the orange pre-party.
Oh.
Woo!
Like to thank my guests, Lindsay Manfredi, David Lindquist, and Rusty Redenbacher. I've really enjoyed this show. Enjoyed listening to you and listening to the music. We will be back next week when we will be talking with Democratic gubernatorial candidate John Gregg. Make it a great week. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM, and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.